Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside David Beauclair and Nick Keiser here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We've got Dan Rosen from NHL.com coming up at 7:30. The Rob Rant at 7:45. TD, Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock as well. So looking forward to all that. Elliot Friedman joined the DDC yesterday for his weekly hit and provided an update on the Philip Forsberg contract situation, which has generated a lot of conversation this week. There's been a lot going back and forth with Philip Forsberg and his new deal, now less than two weeks away from the official beginning of free agency here in the National Hockey League. Here's what Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet had to say yesterday with the guys on the DDC.
I think, like, there are some negotiations, you know, when you're getting, when, like, there's a deadline now. And so it's time to get serious. And you can tell in a lot of cases, not every case, but in a lot of cases, when there's been movement towards something or you're still nowhere. And the general feel around the league is that there's been movement. Like, I heard David Poile say, we're talking long-term for Forsberg. That's what we want. I don't think that's a problem. I think 8 years, I think everybody kind of gets that that's probably where it's going to go here. I think everybody's known for a while now where the number was going to have to be for Nashville's comfort and for Forsberg's comfort. And, you know, I maybe 8.5 is a little bit on the low end, but, you know, I just asked some people for their guesses, and that's kind of where they think it's around. Now, it might not be exactly right, but some of these teams seem to feel that there has been some momentum. And I think when you get that close, you assume it's going to happen. They could be wrong. I could be wrong. But I'm under the assumption right now from the people I'm talking to who are more connected than I am that they think there's a path to a contract.
So that was Elliot Friedman yesterday on the DDC saying he thinks there's a path to a contract between Philip Forsberg and the Nashville Predators. Obviously, 8 years has been established at this point, and Friedman thinking right around 8.5 per year, maybe where it comes in for Philip Forsberg. Now, that's fine. We could say all that, but here we are on July 1st, David, and there's no deal done at this point between Forsberg and the Predators. So what's kind of your sense on this as we're less than 2 weeks away from the deadline as free agency begins in the NHL? No deal at this point for Forsberg. Yeah, some people, they say that there's momentum. Now, I will say this. There was also a report yesterday from, I believe, Darren Drager. And let me go back and find this and pull it up. Quote, not a lot of progress in ongoing discussions between Forsberg and the Preds. The gap is believed to be less than $1 million per year. But on an 8-year term, it's easy to see why this will come down to the wire. So a little bit less of an optimistic take from Darren Drager there as it comes to Forsberg and the negotiations. What do you make of this entire situation between the Predators and Forsberg and his contract?
I agree with Elliot in that nothing gets a deal done like a deadline. There's no question about that. But having said that, this one has been in the works for a long time. This is not one of those things that David Poile said, okay, we got to the end of the season, we looked at our roster, we decided we want to keep Philip Forsberg. Let's go ahead and talk to his people and see if we can get a contract done, right? They have been talking about this for a long time. If Philip Forsberg wanted to get a deal done, the deal would be done by now. That's not saying it won't be done, but I just think, you know, at this point, for a deal to happen, somebody is going to have to make a significant move, right?
Agreed.
The only side that really has any motivation to make a significant move right now is the Predators, because they're getting to the point where we don't get this guy signed, we're going to lose him, we're going to get nothing for him, whatever. But if you're Philip Forsberg, you're sitting there, it's a nice offer from the Predators. I've had a good time playing here, had some good moments. But there's a lot of other teams out there. There's 30 other teams out there, that 31 other teams out there that, you know, some of them really interest me. And I had a conversation with a scout a couple months ago, and we were talking in general terms. But this scout actually brought up Philip Forsberg as an example and said, said a guy like Forsberg for a team, for example, say like Seattle, has tons of money to spend. If the difference between signing Philip Forsberg and not signing Philip Forsberg for a team like that is $1 million, $1.5 million a year, they'll say, fine, we'll give him $2 million more. Like, this scout was explaining to me how teams, when they have money, are more than happy to overpay for guys.
Right.
The discussions apparently do not come down to, well, there's no way this guy's worth more than $8 million a year. And it comes down to, do we want him or do we not want him? And if we want him, what are we going to, you know, what's the number going to cost? Do we have that number? Fine, then let's pay it to him. So, you know, this all comes down to now, what does Philip Forsberg want? Is it simply a matter of money? Because if it's simply a matter of money, Preds are certainly in the ballpark, but maybe they can't, you know, maybe they can't match what somebody else is going to do. Is it a no trade clause? Is it term? Is it, you know, who know? For all we know, like, Philip Forsberg grew up in Sweden, right? Maybe he grew up a great admirer of Daniel Alfredsson and always thought to himself, hey, you know, I'd like to play in Ottawa like Daniel Alfredsson someday. You know, like, you don't know. Or maybe he looked at Detroit with Nicklas Lidström and Thomas Holmström and said, man, it'd be cool to be a Red Wing someday. Like, you know, or maybe he looks at a team like Toronto and says, look at all the star power and all the big names. I could be just a guy on that team, and I'd rather be just a guy than be one of the faces of the franchise. Like, these are all things like fans don't, you know, like, fans are going, Nashville's a great place to play. We've cheered for Philip Forsberg. We love him. He loves us. You know, why would you go anywhere else? And I get that from a fan's perspective, but the players and the A.J. Brown situation with the Titans is a perfect example, right? Like, he wanted to play with Jalen Hurts, and his agent made that happen for him.
Yep.
And, you know, there's no telling what Philip Forsberg might really want in his heart of hearts beyond just money and term, which are the things we always talk about in these things. And the fact that, you know, the fact that we are this deep into this process with it, I'll go back to, I honestly feel like Philip Forsberg's going to be elsewhere next year. I don't know where, but it feels like he wants to look around at something, and if he gets to that point, he's probably going to get what he wants.
Well, there's two kind of prevailing thoughts on this that typically take place. Number one, the first thought is, okay, there deadlines, they push a deal to get done, and that's what you have here with Forsberg. The second kind of prevailing thought is, well, I mean, the closer you get to the free agency date, the more likely it is that the player's just going to hit free agency,
right,
and that they're not going to come back and that they're going to see what options are out there for them. So it kind of depends on really who you ask and what you think about these situations, which school of thought you line yourself up in. I will say, like, you know, the idea that there's not a ton of options for him out there, I just don't really buy into. Like, there are a lot of teams with cap space out there now.
And you know, there are a lot of teams with cap space interested in a 27-year-old
who just
put up 42 goals. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question about that. Now, you know, some of these cap numbers are deceptive. Like, Colorado right now has $25 million in projected cap space. Now, they've also got Kadri that's a free agent, and they've got Burakovsky that's a free agent, and Nichushkin that's a free agent. Like, how many of those guys are they interested in bringing back? Could they be interested in making an offer to a guy like Forsberg and saying, you know what, we just won a Stanley Cup and you can come play with Nathan McKinnon. How's that sound for you? Like,
yeah.
those are things that we just don't know. And those conversations between Forsberg's agency and those teams aren't supposed to have happened yet. But we know how professional sports works.
Right.
Like, agents, they have backdoor conversations all the time. Like, so I'm not saying that J.P. Barry, Forsberg's agent, has you know, gone around polling other teams what their offer would be yet at this point for Philip Forsberg, but they've got a general sense of what the market is for Forsberg at this point.
And who's going to be
interested. And I wonder how much of that takes place at this point and how much of that is in the back of Forsberg's mind. There's another part of this that's interesting to me that I want to get David's thoughts on. that we'll get to coming up on the other side as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning. We got Dan Rosen from NHL.com coming up in about 13 minutes at 7:30. Looking forward to that conversation with him. So, David, we're discussing the Philip Forsberg contract situation, and there's a theory that I've thrown out there that I'm interested to get your thoughts on. And everybody's looking at July 13th as the deadline in this, in terms of that's when NHL free agency begins. And look, quite frankly, if he gets to the open market, I know that Mikael Granlund the last 2 years has gotten to the open market and eventually has come back to the Predators, but that's not happening with Philip Forsberg. No. If he gets to the open market, he loses the 8-year deal. It becomes 7 at that point. And if he's not signing an 8-year deal, he's certainly not signing a 7-year deal with the Predators. So you can forget that part of it. My theory, though, is if you're the Predators, my deadline would be July the 7th, and that is the first round of the NHL draft. So that is 6 days away. And the reason for that is Elliot Friedman's pointed this out. A lot of different insiders have pointed this out, and it just happens a lot of years at the draft anyway. There's a whole lot of movement that takes place at the draft. You can make trades. You can make moves. And to me, if you're the Predators, like, in order to figure out your path forward, like, you need to know what Philip Forsberg's going to do by July the 7th, whether that's signing, whether that's moving on and going elsewhere, and that can dictate what you do at the draft, be that maybe selling off some pieces if he's leaving and acquiring more picks, or if you know that he's coming back, maybe putting yourself in a position where with your $21 million worth of cap space, where you can make some moves and add to your lineup that way too. So what do you make of the idea that if you're David Poile, the real deadline's July 13th by the free agency, but the Robbie Stanley deadline is July 7th by the first round of the draft? Like, you need to get things figured out by then.
Well, you know, you could work one of these deals like David Poile tried with Dan Hamhuis some years ago, where you trade him to a team for a conditional pick, and if that team signs him, then a seventh round pick becomes a second round pick, or something like that, whatever, where you give another team an exclusive, basically an exclusive negotiating rights window with them. That makes sense to me. I don't think it will happen here, just unless Philip Forsberg just definitively comes out and says to David Poile, look, we're not coming back. Look, you know, we're just not.
Which I don't think he's going to do.
And it doesn't seem like that has happened. And David Poile, you know, is hell bent on, you know, I'm sure he has Plan B and Plan C, but it's clearly not a question of, well, Plan B and Plan C are just as good as Plan A. Let's sort of balance these out. It's we're all in on Plan A right now, which is to re-sign Philip Forsberg. And if that doesn't happen, then we'll move on to Plan B and Plan C. The worst case scenario for the Preds would be kind of like what happened with Ryan Suter, where you were all in on trying to re-sign him. Not only did he not re-sign, he was several days into free agency before he did sign with Minnesota. And then all of a sudden you're left with, oh, well, crap, what do we do now? That would be the worst case scenario. My guess is if Forsberg gets to free agency and signs with someone else, it would happen very quickly. It would not be a repeat of the Suter situation.
Well, also, so like, not, I think if
it, you know it, 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 but other than, like, you're not going to be, it's not like you're going to be drafting Philip Forsberg's replacement. It's not going to be trade AJ Brown, draft Treylon Burks. Like, we all know the NHL doesn't work that way. Guys take time. So for the Robbie dead, back to the Robbie deadline, it makes sense, but I just don't. It only makes sense if Forsberg is willing to say definitively, yes, I'm coming back, no, I'm not. And it seems like that's not happening.
Well, I would like to, like, even if he's, let's just say, for the sake of argument, he's coming back. Like, So you've got a projected $21 million in cap space right now. Now, that's a rough estimate because, I mean, you'll have entry-level guys that you've got to sign, all this other stuff. You know, who's your backup goalie going to be? I think it's going to be Connor Ingram, but we'll see on that front. So let's say Forsberg takes up 8.5 of that. So now you're working with roughly $12.5 million of cap space. Like, that's still a pretty good amount of cap space to operate with, whether that's free agency or if you wanted to make a trade or two. A popular place to make a trade is the draft. Like, it seems to me that even if Forsberg leaves, like, the indication that I've gotten from David Poile and that you've gotten from ownership is they really have no interest in a rebuild.
No.
Like, making the playoffs is very important to them. I think it's pretty clear at this point. So I agree. Like, there is a plan B and a plan C. I would be hard-pressed to believe that either one of those plans are as good as bringing back Philip Forsberg, and you may be forced to reevaluate at some point. But I think just logistically and how they want to operate, like, it doesn't seem to me like there's any interest in David Poile and the ownership group rebuilding at this point. Like,
no.
they want to make the playoffs.
There's no question that that nobody's interested in that. You can have this discussion, I guess. Is it worth it to tank? I don't think it's worth it to tank, or, you know, just to set out to tank.
Right.
I would say that. I would say it's worth it. It would be worth it for the Predators at this point to take a really big swing at something, like 3 or 4 trades, just shake this whole thing up. Where it, you know, you're not saying, okay, we're just collecting draft picks, or we're just doing, but take a big swing at something, because let's face it, this thing is not trending in the right direction. 2017 was a long time ago now.
Yep.
And they've gotten farther and farther away from that seemingly every year since. And it's interesting. This playoff year was fascinating to me, and I'm really proud of Nashville as a pro sports market, and proud of the Predators fans who have come to understand. Like, this was the first year you felt like people didn't really care. They weren't excited about the playoffs,
yeah.
And it particularly after losing the first two games in Colorado, there wasn't this sense of, oh, great playoff games at Bridgestone. It's like, well, this team's not doing anything in the playoffs, and it was the first time that I felt from the fan base that, you know what, it doesn't interest me anymore just to make the playoffs.
Like, this isn't good enough
anymore.
Yeah.
Like, let me know when you're making a real run at it. And so that's why I say, you know, yeah, you don't have to tear this thing down to the studs, but take a big swing at something again. And, you know, big swings have worked out well for this team.
They have.
You know, trading Shea Weber for PK Subban, you know, this is what we all have to remember. Like, okay, it wasn't a deal that paid dividends for 5, 6, 8 years, but 2017,
it worked.
It worked.
2018, it worked.
It worked. You know, like, PK Subban contributed a lot on the ice to this team, and you know, trading Seth Jones for Ryan Johansson, you know, that worked out pretty well. Now, of course, you've got to get somebody to trade with you, but there's deals to be, you know, like. Forget about the idea of unloading Johansson, you know, to unload the salary. But there are deals to be made. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But at least you've tried something different, because right now you're a long way away from this thing.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, and you can view this, I guess, in a couple of different ways, whether you're a pessimist or an optimist. Let's say you do get Forsberg back. Okay. Well, how much better are you
right
moving forward? He scored 42 goals last year. Duchesne scored 43 goals last year. Roman Josi put up 96 points, and you had a Vezina finest goalie, and you were
barely
the last team
in the
playoffs,
yeah.
And you got swept by Colorado. Now, you know, getting swept by Colorado, as we found out, maybe wasn't as big of a crime as we thought it was at the time, because they were pretty darn good in the playoffs. But I say all that to say, how likely is it, even if Forsberg resigns, that he puts up 84 points and 42 goals next year? How likely is it that Matt Duchesne repeats what he did last year? How likely is it that Roman Josi puts up 96 points, something that hasn't been done by a defenseman in 30 years? Like, there are still – there are additional steps this team needs to take beyond just those guys replicating what they did, which I think is unlikely.
And the flaw in thinking that the Predators and John Hines or whatever hit on something that, oh, they got all these great years out of all these guys and – offense was up everywhere.
Yep.
The Predators were not the only ones doing unusual offensive numbers. Offense was up. I mean, that's the way the game has become. What it is you go back to 2004, 2005, the lockout year, and coming out of the lockout, one of the big points of emphasis was they're getting clutching and grabbing out of the game.
Yeah.
And if you go back and look at the penalty numbers, 2005-06, 2006-07, I mean – it was power plays all
left
the
right.
time because referees were told, you call all this stuff. Well, now you've got a generation of players that grew up with freedom to skate and to move. And this, you know, what you're seeing is the creativity and the production that is a result of all that. So good for the NHL for doing what they set out to do. But it's not like the Predators, you know, hit on some magical something this year all these guys are producing at these great levels. I mean, it's happening everywhere around the league. So don't be fooled by that.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Dan Rosen from NHL.com. We'll get his thoughts on Philip Forsberg, free agency in the NHL, and where the Predators go from here. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside David Beauclair and Nick Keiser here with you on this Friday morning. In honor of America's birthday coming up on Monday, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in one of the greatest living Americans, Dan Rosen from NHL.com. Dan, what's going on? How we doing?
Easily the best intro I've ever had, Robbie.
Well,
I mean, easily the best intro.
That's,
no question about it.
That's what we're going for here on this program. This is high-level stuff on this broadcast.
Total lie, but all great here.
Well, Dan, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning here on the program. So, NHL free agency now less than 2 weeks away. Philip Forsberg still without a contract here with the Predators. Now, it depends on who you ask. Elliot Friedman came on our station yesterday and said there's progress being made. Darren Drager a little less optimistic with his take yesterday on Twitter. I'll just ask you this. How do you view the Forsberg situation in terms of purely the decision that he has to make? The money's going to be good. It's going to be an 8-year contract here with the Predators if he signs it, but there's always maybe the grass is greener on the other side. How do you kind of view Forsberg and the decision that he has upcoming with him and the Nashville Predators?
Well, I look at it in two different ways. Number one, you know how I feel about Nashville, Robbie. I love the city of Nashville. I love the situation the Predators have there. How could you not love it? How could you not want to play there? It's a fantastic city. It's a fantastic location for an arena. The fans are great. The team is always competitive. I don't see how you wouldn't want to be a part of it, right? So that's number one. But Philip Forsberg has never had this opportunity. He's never really had this opportunity to say to himself, what do 31 other teams think of me, right? I mean, what if, okay, so Nashville can give me eight years, and that's fine. But, I mean, really, what's the difference between one more year if I find someone else that says to me, you know what, here's what we can give you for 7 years. Here's where you can live. Here's where you can play. And here's who you can play with. And here's why. I mean, he's never had the opportunity to do this. So I don't begrudge him. 8 years, the off. You know, everything's going to be above board, right, with the Predators. Everything's going to be top of the line. They're going to give him the deal. They're going to give him the dollars, the term, all that. But maybe Philip Forsberg says, I just got to see what else is out there for me, fellas. I just can't marry myself to one team for my entire career without knowing what else is out there. And to me, that's what this is about. That is what this is about. This is about Philip Forsberg, you know, being sort of just interested, you know, and wanting to know what else could be out there for him. I think of the Steven Stamkos situation a number of years ago. I think it was 6-7 years ago. that wild time in the NHL where Subban got traded and Hall got traded.
Crazy 23 minutes.
23 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah. But you know what? That buildup, we were all wondering if Steven Stamkos, Toronto or whatever, like, is there going to be something else out there? Is he looking? And he did. And then he found out Tampa was where he wanted to be. Forsberg doesn't have that interview period that Stamkos had, but he could still figure it out. And maybe that's what this comes down to. This could come down to July 12th for Philip Forsberg instead of July 13th going somewhere else. July 12th staying with Nashville or 11th or whatever it is. But it also could be like, you know what, I really want to see what else is out there. And that is his right. That is his right.
And where do you see him among the most desirable free agents this year? Like, say if he gets out there and starts listening, how many teams do you think would be coming hard at him?
Well, I think there'd be a bunch. You know, I mean, cap space is a premium. We know that right now. There's not a lot of teams that can afford a Philip Forsberg in their current state with their cap right now. But Philip Forsberg, to me, is a guy that you trade other pieces to try to assign him. Like, that's the type of player he is. But then, you know, you think about it. Look, I mean, look, Colorado's got a lot to deal with, right? Bunch of UFAs, all that stuff. Maybe they like Philip Forsberg because they can do it. Their team would change. They just won the Stanley Cup. Their team would change. But you're adding a 40-goal scorer who could be a 50-goal scorer on that team, right? Calgary, what's up with Johnny Gaudreau? You know, I mean, if Johnny Gaudreau is not coming back, well, Calgary's an option now for Philip Forsberg, right? So there's good quality teams. What about the Pittsburgh Penguins? You know, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, both pending unrestricted free agents. I don't think they're going to re-sign both. Maybe they re-sign one. If they do, I think it would be Letang. We'll see where it goes. But is that an option right there for them, for the Pittsburgh Penguins? So we're not talking about teams here that are in a rebuilding state only. We're talking about teams that could be contending and still be interested in Philip Forsberg. And to me, that's the intrigue. And that has to be what Philip Forsberg's thinking too.
Dan, I'm glad you brought up the Penguins because to me, I look at them, and I know it's been Crosby and Malkin and Letang for so long, but like Malkin to me is just not the same guy anymore. And I don't know financially if it's worth the Penguins going down that road. I tell you a guy that I've thought about for a long time now that really intrigues me with them, that now that the cup is over, I'm interested to see if this happens. Do you think Pittsburgh could take a run at a guy like Nazem Kadri to come in and maybe replace Malkin and be that number two center?
As always, we're thinking along the same lines, you know.
It's a dangerous place to be.
That's exactly the thought I had, and it's exactly the direction I would go, to be honest with you, if I were the Penguins. I covered the Penguins series against the Rangers in the first round, and maybe if they have a Tristan Jarry, they get a healthy Tristan Jarry, they get out of that first round. We don't know, right? But maybe if Sidney Crosby doesn't get hurt in Game 5 and doesn't play Game 6, maybe they get out of that first round. Whatever. Thing that I noticed in that first round was Evgeny Malkin would get the puck at the far blue line, and then you'd see him rev it up, and you'd be like, oh, here goes Gino, right? Here he goes. We've seen this thousands of times, right? This is what we've seen for 15 years. And he'd get to the attacking zone blue line, and he'd kind of stop. And he wouldn't have the power. He didn't have the step. He didn't have the ability to go around that last guy that he would always get around and make that power move and get to the net. That's a concern for me. That's Gino's game. That's Evgeny Malkin's game, the power skating. Likes to go east-west, but, man, when he revs it up, nobody could rev it up the way Gino could rev it up. And he's coming off that left knee surgery, and maybe a full off-season of training will help him and whatnot, but he's going to be 36 years old, and it's to me, you're entering dangerous territory. And I'm all for loyalty. I'm all for all that stuff. But you also have to make a smart business decision. And to me, the smart business decision, if you're looking at the two free agents that the Penguins have here, they're cornerstone guys in Chris Letang and Evgeny Malkin. Letang's the guy that I would go after hard. I would try to do everything I could do to re-sign him because he's the hardest one to replace, and he's coming off a great year. Whereas Malkin's coming off of an injury. Maybe he's slowed down, and he's a little bit easier to replace with other guys that are out on the market, Nazem Kadri being the first guy I would look at ideal number two center behind Sidney Crosby.
Dan Rosen from NHL.com on with us here on the program. By the way, we had a texter on our text line just say, I just threw up thinking about Forsberg and a Penguins jersey. So I'm sure that's going over well with Predators fans right now. Dan, I am interested. Let's say for sake of argument, Forsberg comes back with the Predators. How do you view this team? Because that's kind of the question here in Nashville we're trying to answer. Forsberg just had 42 goals. Duchesne just scored 43. Josi put up more points than a defenseman's put up in 30 years in the league, and it got him barely scraping into the playoffs and getting swept by Colorado in round one. So how do you view this Predators team currently as they sit and how close they are to being a legitimate contender in the Western Conference?
Good, not great. Better with Juuse Saros in net. That was a big loss. They don't beat the Avalanche with Juuse Saros in net, but they probably don't get swept. How do things change for this team if they don't blow the lead against Arizona in the last game of the regular season and they play Calgary and instead of Colorado? You look at the two things, right? If Saros is healthy and they don't blow that lead, now they got a Vezina finalist against another Vezina finalist in the first round, and maybe it's a different situation for them in the playoffs, and maybe we have a completely different feeling right now than we do about the Nashville Predators if those two things happen. But they didn't happen, right? I mean, they didn't have Saros, and they did blow the lead. So they end up playing Colorado. They get swept, and the feeling going into the offseason is a heck of a lot different. I like the team. I like Hines as a coach. I wonder what the missing ingredient is. I don't know. Is the missing ingredient, like, a real tried-and-true absolute number one center? So Ryan Johansson's playing two. Is that it? I don't know how you go out and get that. I'm not sure you can. You can't – if Philip Forsberg leaves, you have to replace him with offense. You have to spend that money that you were going to spend to get offense. And maybe it's down the middle instead of on the wing. I don't know, right? But they're good, not great. They're a team that's going to contend. I don't see them as a team that I'm saying, they're going to go, they could go win a Stanley Cup. But, look, let's see what happens with Colorado in the offseason, because they got a lot of money to spend, but they got a lot of pending unrestricted free agents. If they don't re-sign guys and they take a little bit of a dip, which is a possibility, that might bring them back down to the pack a little bit. And maybe we're looking at more teams in the Western Conference and saying, you know what, they got a shot, and maybe Nashville's in that mix. We'll see where we are in 2 weeks, but I think that they're always going to be around. They just, to me, they're just lacking something, and it might be that big man down the middle that everybody is fearful of. I like Ryan Johansson. I like Matt Duchesne. I like these guys a lot, Michael Granlin. But, you look at the teams that have won the Stanley Cup. We're talking about Nathan MacKinnon. We're talking about Sidney Crosby. We're talking about Braden Point / Steven Stamkos. Things along those lines. Ryan O'Reilly, Patrice Bergeron years ago and now getting to the Cup Final in 2019 as well. Nick Backstrom, Evgeny Kuznetsov. Like, where is that guy? Is that guy Ryan Johansson? Maybe, but I think it might be just a tick above him. And that's what they're missing, but I don't know how they go out and get that.
Yeah, that's a great point. Dan Rosen from NHL.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rextra. Dan, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to join us, and enjoy the holiday weekend, my friend.
All right, man. Appreciate it. You guys, too.
Thanks,
absolutely.
Dan
Rosen, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rob Rant. We'll get to that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN, 102.5, The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. David Beauclair in today for Joe Rex Road. Little Beatles bringing us back in. By the way, we may have talked about this before, but I don't remember, so I'm just going to throw it out there anyway. You may disown me after saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. My hot take, running hot take here on this program, is that the Beatles, highly overrated. Big time overrated of the Beatles. So are you ready to leave yet? Or?
Well, overrated is kind of a funny term. Their influence is undeniable.
No question.
In terms of, like...
I just don't think they're very good. I guess that's what I'm boiling it down to.
I
was also born in 1992.
I'm older than you, significantly so. But I am very much of the mindset. I am a Stones over the Beatles guy.
Okay.
I'll frame it that way.
Okay.
If you ever watched the show Californication on Showtime, one of my favorite little, and it had nothing to do with anything, but it was just a scene that was thrown in there, was hilarious. The two main characters were talking to somebody who says, well, that's like saying the Stones are better than the Beatles. And these two guys just look at each other like, Stones are better than the Beatles. <You know? laughs> I think Paul McCartney as a songwriter, particularly post Beatles, way overrated. That's where I get. But I'm not about to poo-poo the Beatles' influence.
Well, Rex Road almost quit the show, and could be why he's gone for 2 weeks now. It's just my take on the Beatles. So, want to get your thoughts on that. My rant for the day is very simple. It's slightly hypocritical, but I'm going to go for it anyway.
Bring it.
So, I spent a time earlier this week talking about NBA free agency and how much I love it because it's always going, something's always happening, and something crazy always takes place. And, of course, that's happened once again. Kevin Durant has requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets after signing a massive deal with them last year. So he signed an extension last year with the Nets after joining the team in 2019. It's really amazing when you think about he and Kyrie Irving joining the team at the same time. They played, I want to say, like less than 60 games together when it all boils down to it. James Harden joined the fold as well. It did not work out for the Brooklyn Nets the way that they thought it would work out. And now Kyrie Irving has opted back into his contract with the Nets, and Kevin Durant informing the Nets yesterday that he just wants out. I guess my rant is for Kevin Durant. It just kind of feels like he's always taking the easy way out. Like the Warriors thing, he goes and leaves Oklahoma City. They were up 3-1 in that series in 2016. Part of the reason they lost is him choking down the stretch. And Golden State wins the series. They go on to become this powerhouse. He joins Golden State. Now when the going gets tough with Brooklyn, he says, you know what? I want out. I'm done. Trade me somewhere. I want to go to either Phoenix or Miami. And my rant is that Brooklyn has been like, yeah, okay, cool. We'll do it. He's got 3 years left on the deal, man. Just make him play. What's he going to do? You got Kyrie Irving opting back in. It's amazing to me. And I think there's a lot of good with this, and there's a lot of bad with it as well. But the power that the players have in the NBA is pretty incredible. I largely enjoy most of it. I think a lot of this rant is, I just don't like Kevin Durant personally. So that's what this boils down to. But it's amazing, like, just how whiny he is on social media with his 15 burner accounts on Twitter. And now he's begging to get out of Brooklyn, a bed that he laid for himself anyway to begin with. It's amazing to me, the journey of Kevin Durant and how he's viewed. And I'm sure that the Warriors winning another championship with him out of the fold is just eating him up inside, which makes this even better.
You talk about the influence that players have in the NBA. I think part of that is the rosters are so small.
Yeah.
You can't hide a guy like that. You know, you can hide an unhappy guy in an NFL locker room. You can hide an unhappy guy in a Major League Baseball locker room because most of those guys are unhappy anyway. The NBA, there's no, particularly a guy like Durant who commands the money he does. But have we ever seen a superstar like him in any sport who just is unhappy everywhere
all the
he
time?
Goes?
I don't think so.
And doesn't like and. You know, like LeBron bounces around, right? But LeBron goes to the Lakers, and it's like, okay, build the team around me.
Yeah.
You know, I was in Cleveland, they built the team around me. I was in Miami, like Durant doesn't seem to know what he wants. He doesn't seem to know what he wants from a team perspective, from a teammate perspective. He does. I've never seen a guy so.
It's like he gets somewhere and he just immediately sours on
it. I don't like this place. He doesn't know what he wants, so there's nothing that's going to make him happy.
Yeah,
it's the oddest thing.
It really is. Like, you know, you're at Golden State and, you know, you win two titles there, and then Clay gets hurt and you lose to the Raptors, and that's it for you. It's almost like he's like, well, you know what? I'm going to go somewhere and I'm going to win. Where, like, Steph Curry is not getting half the credit.
Right.
So then you team up with Kyrie, and it doesn't work out. You know, Kyrie's coming back. Like, I looked at the odds the other day with Durant and Kyrie. They were going to be among the favorites to win the NBA title next year, and then all of a sudden he's out and wants to go somewhere else. Like, I don't know where he's going to end up. You know, his preferred destinations apparently are Phoenix and Miami. I am a Miami Heat fan, so I guess my disdain for Kevin Durant I'd have to put a little bit to the back burner. If he ends up on my team. But to your point, I don't know that we've ever seen a star quite like him that just, no matter where he goes, no matter what the situation is around him, he just never quite seems happy or satisfied with
because,
where he is.
Because when he's right, still, like, you know, he still has those games where you're
amazing.
My God, this guy is good.
Yeah.
You know, but He just can't seem to find his place, and he's gonna go down as one of, you know, he'll be in the Hall of Fame and all of that, but like, what team is he gonna go in as a Hall of Famer for? Let's start asking that question.
Yeah. I don't know
because like what franchise goes, oh yeah, the days we had Kevin Durant, those were such good times. It's like, yeah, you're happy to have him because of his talent, but beyond that,
kind of hard to deal with. Seems like
he does.
Anybody that has like 15 burner accounts, like, dude, just put the phone down.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't need to be getting into it with Skip Bayless left and right.
No, you don't. That is not a situation you want to get into.
And yet he continually finds himself in that situation. So I guess we'll watch with great intrigue to see where Brooklyn ends up trading KD. There have been thoughts about the Suns and the Heat. Now, could there be some teams? Like, this one got floated out last night, which would be incredible. Like, Kyrie and KD end up getting traded from Brooklyn to L.A. with LeBron and the Lakers. That'd be something.
To your broader point, though, there is no more fascinating offseason than the NBA.
Oh, goodness.
Guys opting out with the idea that they're going to re-sign. Yeah. And yet, I mean, there are so many more options and permutations in that league than there are the others.
It's incredible.
It makes my head hurt sometimes.
It's hard to even really fathom what's going on.
To be an NBA agent is to really have some work to do, I would think.
Lou Dort, who most people have no idea who that is, he just signed a 5-year deal worth $87 million with the Oklahoma City Thunder yesterday. Like 95% of our listening audience has no clue who that is. And he just signed a 5-year, $87 million deal. God, like, the money is just absurd.
Yeah.
Have your kids play basketball. That's the message that I'm sending moving forward. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport from ESPN. We'll get his thoughts on all things Titans coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.